Good evening. We welcome you to this Christmas Eve service, this special opportunity that we have to come amidst potentially a busy week for you this week, to be able to come and just slow down and enter into a time of worship, just as we focus our attention on the fact that Jesus has come for us. And so we just want to welcome you this evening as you are here. If you are visiting with us to the church, we just especially extend a greeting to you. If you're a part of a family that's here at the church and you're here as well coming, we're just glad to have you as we're able to come and to just focus in on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a joy to be able to do that with you this day. And we are glad to be able to do that. Just a note about the service, we're going to be singing and hearing scripture, starting from time period of the Old Testament and working our way through both through the scripture and in song leading up to the coming of Christ. So just listen interactively with the scriptures as they are read, as they point us to Christ. We just encourage you to sing as we sing together with these songs that focus on various truths from God's Word that just point us to Him and what His Word tells us about the coming of our Lord and Savior. So we just encourage you to participate both in listening as we come to hear Scripture and also in singing as we come to sing together. Well, tonight we're continuing a little bit with our Advent that we have. I don't have a mic. Hopefully you can hear me. We began by looking our first Sunday at hope, and then our second Sunday we looked at peace, and then this last Sunday we looked at joy and the joy that we have in this season because of the coming of Christ. And of course tonight we will focus in on the middle candle, the white candle, as we celebrate the gift of Jesus. Will you join me in prayer as we begin? Father, we give you thanks that we can come here this evening to focus upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the humble way with which He has come to this earth, the way that He has come to save. Father, we thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for the joy in our hearts that we have this evening to sing of Jesus. Lord, would you help us focus our attention on you and this service? And would you be praised and glorified in it all? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Amen. Will you stand with this church? Come thou long expected Jesus.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins relieved. Jesus, let us find our rest in Thee. In Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
Born Thy people to deliver.
Born Thy people to
dark shadows pull. Matthew 1, 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region there was shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock. By night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
You stand with us.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was a certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No.
John 1, 1 through 5, and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Joyful and triumphant, O come.
thy highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. We in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see.
As we continue in the service this evening, and Jeremy's already mentioned with our Advent series this year, the themes that we've already talked about this month, the themes of peace and joy and hope, not in that order. We have one more. We're a week behind in our Advent series, so we have love coming up this coming Sunday, but tonight is the focus on Jesus and who he is and why he came and the emphasis being centered on him, because that's why we celebrate Christmas to begin with. And as we think about that this evening, I just want to take just a few moments just to reflect upon the reality of who Jesus is. One of my childhood fascinations during Christmas was my grandmother's nativity set. And I don't know why, but I was mesmerized by that thing. And I mean, I would be excited every year when it would come out, and I would move those figurines around. When I got older and realized the wise men didn't come to actually 2 years later, I would move them across the room and the whole thing. So I was just always just fixated upon this nativity set. And I'm still a fan of nativity sets. We even have one that's quite like the one I grew up with. It still fascinates me to look at that thing and to just contemplate, as we know, nativity scenes and sets are not perfect in their analysis of historical realities, but it's just an attempt to depict the lowly conditions that Jesus was born into, kind of an expression, if you will, of his humanity. And we know that nativity sets have their limitations. Even as they depict this lowly condition, this lowly state of Jesus being born as a man and coming into this world, we know that that's just the beginning of the story, really. It's not the full, complete story. In fact, in just a few days, those of us who have those nativity sets out will box them back up and store them away until next Christmas. And I've often thought, you know, as I think about those nativity sets and as I think about our reflection upon who Jesus is, I've often thought how if we're not careful at Christmas time, we can treat the real, authentic Jesus like we do that little figurine on top of the tabletop, that little nativity set that we have. We bring him out during this time of year. We're fascinated during this season. And then when Christmas is over, we box him up and put him away until next year. And I thought, you know, that's often how, if we're not careful, we can treat the authentic Jesus. But we know that fascination with Jesus has a shelf life. And the reality is that Jesus did not come to fascinate us. though he does, he came to redeem us. So how do we move beyond mere fascination with Jesus to a genuine exaltation of him? Well, we do so by considering the real Jesus, the authentic Jesus. The authentic Jesus is not a figurine displayed in a living room. He is a king ruling from a throne room. He is the sovereign over creation and the savior of the world. There's a lot we could say about Jesus tonight, but I want to just, for a few moments here, literally, just point you to two realities about Jesus that should not leave you simply fascinated by him. These two realities about Jesus should leave you humbled before him, that you would truly exalt him and follow him. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, he said this. He said, "For in him," speaking about Jesus, "for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Two brief but profound realities that will leave you more than just fascinated with Jesus we find in this text. Two observations here real quick. Just one, we see that regarding the authentic Jesus, the fullness of God dwells in him. That's what Paul says. The point Paul makes there in verse 19 is that Jesus is God. God in the flesh. Not just part of God, not just some of God, but the fullness of God, we're told, dwells in him. In verse 15, if you backed up in just a few verses prior, Paul says of Jesus that he is the image of the invisible God. So this baby born in Bethlehem, this Jesus that we celebrate, the one who would be a carpenter by trade in Nazareth, the preacher who walked the streets of Galilee, this Jesus who ate and drank and slept like we do, experienced life fully in the flesh as a man, this Jesus is God himself. The truth about Jesus, that he is God in the flesh, should not leave us merely fascinated, but leave us bowing before him in humility and in praise. The sovereign of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things, the all-wise and all-powerful God descended to this earth in the form of a man. As John put it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Christmas is a time, it is a season when we celebrate the moment when the immaterial became material, when the invisible became visible. It's a time we can rejoice in because it is the fact that God himself has visited us in this weary world filled with sin and brokenness. He has visited us to bring everlasting hope and peace. And so the reason that we can celebrate and rejoice and exalt Jesus is that the fullness of God dwells in him. It is the fact of the matter is that he is God in the flesh. But not only do we celebrate him because the fullness of God dwells in him, we celebrate him because the purpose of God was accomplished by him. The reason it's important to understand and to know that and believe that Jesus was both fully God and fully man is because that only someone who was both God and man could accomplish the work of redemption, of salvation. Jesus was born into this world. He became flesh so that he could achieve the salvation every one of us desperately needs. Verse 20 describes that with two words. And through him to reconcile, that's one word, to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace, that's another word, by the blood of his cross. This idea of reconciliation, through him to reconcile to himself all things. Reconciliation assumes a brokenness in a relationship, right? It assumes that. It assumes that there is a break. And that's what sin has done. That's what sin has brought about in this world, a broken relationship between us and God. It has severed this relationship. But Jesus came as God in the flesh to reconcile to himself all things. He came to mend what was broken, to restore us in a right standing. Maybe you sense that even in your own life tonight. Maybe you sense that reality of separation and brokenness, and that there's a breach in that relationship between you and God. Maybe you feel distant from God, and the reality that we would sing and celebrate about tonight is that God has sent His Son into the world so you would not feel the reality of that brokenness, so that you would not remain in that separated condition, but rather, by looking to Jesus and resting in Him, you could be reconciled. Not only that, He says He came to reconcile all things on earth or in heaven. We know that we look at the larger narrative of Scripture that sin has brought about cosmic damage. And the work of Jesus brings about a cosmic renewal in a way. And one day we're going to see that as the new creation is brought about. And that all sounds great, but how does He do that? Well, we're told in verse 20 that He reconciles by making peace by the blood of His cross. He came to reconcile by making peace by the blood of His cross. Peace is a common word that we talk about at Christmas. We just a few weeks ago considered that in our Sunday morning message. And the peace being described here is a peace that exists between us and God. Because of sin, because of that broken relationship, we are at enmity with God. We are born at odds, in conflict, if you will, spiritually speaking, with God. That's what sin does. But Jesus accomplishes our reconciliation and peace, we're told here, through the blood of His cross. As Jesus would eventually grow up and become a man and do ministry and have friends and disciples, He would eventually die on a cross. He would do so to bear the full penalty and judgment for our sin. He would die in our place so that we could be restored to full peace with God who created us and loves us. So when we think about Christmas, Christmas is the celebration of the One who descended upon this very world He created and makes Himself a resident, clothes Himself in the skin of creation in order that He could redeem it. This eternal divine Creator Son is also the One who humbled Himself to live and die for those He created. Or maybe you're here tonight and you would acknowledge the reality of your sin and the brokenness in your life that exists. Maybe you feel the weight of that burden and you long to have that peace and reconciliation with God. Well, good news. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because it is the story of the beginnings, really not the beginning because you've got to go back to Genesis for that, but it's the beginning of this earthly ministry when God the Son comes to this earth to bring about this reconciliation and peace, to restore that which was broken, and He did it for people just like you. He was born, He lived, and He died, and He was raised again from the dead for people just like you. And if you would simply acknowledge the reality of your sin and the depths of your brokenness before God and realize this morning, this evening, that Jesus is the One whom God sent into this world as God in the flesh to bring about this reconciliation and this peace, if you would rest in Him, if you would trust in Him, if you would look to Him and put your hope in Him, knowing that His life, His death, and resurrection was the fullness of that is all that was needed for you to be restored to a right relationship with God. Turn from your sin and trust in Christ by faith, and you will find that peace and that reconciliation. Fellow Christian, my hope and encouragement to you tonight is simple. May you continue to be overwhelmed and overjoyed in the authentic Jesus. May the reality of who He is and the impact of what He's done compel you to worship Him, not just for an evening, but for a lifetime. You know, this evening has been an opportunity for us to dwell upon the real Jesus, not just in these few verses, certainly it's here, but even as we've heard Scripture read this evening and as we've acknowledged and reaffirmed through song the reality of who Jesus is, it's been an opportunity for us to dwell upon the authentic Christ. And by dwelling upon the true and authentic Christ, my prayer is that you would not leave here tonight simply just fascinated with Jesus. The real Jesus was born and laid in a manger, but he would later die on a cross, and he did this not to fascinate you, but to redeem you. He did it to reconcile you and to make peace with you, between you and God, once and for all. So as we celebrate Christmas, let's celebrate the real Jesus. And when we do, he will turn your fascination into exaltation. And that will be glorious. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word this evening. Thank you for helping us reflect upon the reality and truth of who Jesus is. For the hope that we can have, for the peace and the reconciliation that we can have because of him. Father, as we think about this Christmas season, there's so much to consider. There's so much before us in our schedules. But Lord, this evening it's our prayer that we would be reminded and that we would be humbled. That you loved us so much that you were willing to send your Son into this world so that we can be at peace with you, reconciled in full, so that we can know you and walk with you all our days and throughout eternity. Father, what a gift we have. Lord, just help us to continue to look to Christ, to rest in him, and to walk with him all our days. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand and let us sing together.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Worth.
if you are helping Pastor Adam with our candle lighting, you can come forward now. Church family, we will be lighting our candles together and singing Silent Night. So as we do this, let us reflect upon the words in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone.
Thank you.
joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Well, we've seen this last song. You can go ahead and blow your candle out. So, there's wax dripping down on everybody.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
While shepherds kept
their watching over silent flocks by night. Shown up.
Amen. It's been great to be here this evening. Thank you so much for coming and celebrating this evening with us as we celebrate the hope that's ours in Jesus Christ. The fact that he came, he lived, he died, and was raised from the dead for our sake. He ascended into the heavens and comes once again in the future to bring us to himself in full. And so we look forward to that day. But thank you so much for being here. We wish you very Merry Christmas and hope that you enjoy time this week as we continue to celebrate the hope that's ours in Christ. If you will, on your way out, if you'll take those candles and just drop them in the box there or on the tables as you exit, that would be helpful. But we do wish you a very Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for being here. You're dismissed.